Hi, this is Pastor Daniel Bracken. You're listening to Kings Alaska Podcast. I hope the word encourages you and you get a touch from God that brings transformation and equips you to experience life with people, power, and purpose. Thank you for joining us. Enjoy the word.
Get your Bibles out. And we're going to read just a couple of quick verses out of Hosea chapter 11. And I want you, as we read these scriptures, to hear God's heart and his love for Israel. Let's start. When Israel was a child, I loved him, and out of Egypt I called my son. But the more I called Israel, the further they went from me. They sacrificed to the Baals, and they burnt incense to images. It was I who taught Ephraim to walk, taking them by the arms, but they did not realize it was I who healed them. I led them with cords of human kindness, with ties of love. I lifted the yoke from their neck and bent down to feed them. Will they not return to Egypt, and will not Assyria rule over them because they refuse to repent? Swords will flash in their cities, will destroy the bars of their gates and put an end to their plans. My people are determined to turn from me. Even if they call to the Most High, he will by no means exalt them. How can I give you up, Ephraim? How can I hand you over, Israel? How can I treat you like Admah? How can I make you like Zeboim? My heart is changed within me. All my compassion is aroused. I will not carry out my fierce anger, nor will I turn and devastate Ephraim. For I am God and not man, the Holy One among you. I will not come in wrath. They will follow the Lord. He will roar like a lion. When he roars, his children will come trembling from the west. They will come trembling like birds from Egypt, like doves from Assyria. I will settle them in their homes, declares the Lord. Ephraim has surrounded me with lies, the house of Israel with deceit, and Judah is unruly against God, even against the faithful Holy One. Keep going. Ephraim feeds on the wind. He pursues the east wind all day and multiplies lies and violence. He makes a treaty with Assyria and sends olive oil to Egypt. The Lord has a charge to bring against Judah. He will punish Jacob according to his ways and repay him according to his deeds. In the womb, he grasped his brother's heel. As a man, he struggled with God. He struggled with the angel and overcame him. He wept and begged for his favor. He found him at Bethel and talked with him there, the Lord God Almighty. The Lord is his name of renown. But you must return to your God. Maintain love and justice and wait for your God always. Lord, I thank you for your word. I pray tonight that you would speak to us, oh God, and that you would come, oh Lord, with your word and transform us and change us from the inside out. Lord, I humble myself before you and I ask you to speak tonight to every man, woman, and child in this place in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. You can be seated. So let me give you a little bit of a historical context of what's going on here in the book of Hosea. Hosea lived during a time of great economic and political success in Israel. It was actually a booming time for Israel. And they were prosperous and they were numerous. But something was happening. Something was growing in Israel. A spiritual apostasy. We're going to talk about that in a moment. It was being nurtured among the people. So let's see some of the things that were going on. Number one, rulers of Israel and Judah were seeking alliances with pagan kings instead of seeking the Lord for help. Okay? Instead of going to God for help, they were paying pagan kings to fight for them. They were paying them tribute. You read right here in Hosea where he talks about how he makes a treaty with Assyria and sends olive oil to Egypt. Number two, even the good kings in Israel and Judah left the high places in place. They didn't tear them down. There were still people sacrificing to the Baals. All the while, the temple worship was still happening. As Pastor Kirsten explained in our offering message, there was a sacrificial system put in place. So that's still going on. But up in the high places, the altars had not been torn down. People were still sacrificing to other gods. Israelites were still sacrificing to other gods. So religious ceremonies were taking place without genuine devotion or commitment to the Lord. In other words, the Israelites were going through the motions. They were doing all the right things on the outside, but their heart was not devoted to the Lord. They began to seek help from other sources. They began to seek strength from other armies. They were still allowing sacrifices to the Baals to take place in the high places. There was an area of compromise in Israel. And it led to dishonesty, corruption, selfish ambition among the kings. It was becoming an epidemic in the northern and southern kingdoms of Israel. So they were doing all the right things, but their heart was not fully and wholly devoted to God. So this is what's going on during the time of Hosea, where the Lord raised him up to become a prophet to the nation of Israel. And you can see here in chapter 11, Hosea, the Lord speaks to him about his great love for Israel, his great love for his people. And now he doesn't want to bring them harm, but they're giving him no choice because they're beginning to turn away from the Lord. So let's talk about what is spiritual apostasy. In terms of religion, apostasy is the abandonment of or a willful falling away from the faith. It can be defined as departure of religious practices, rejection of beliefs that you once agreed upon, or even mockery of the religion that you're serving. A mockery. That's exactly what was happening in the high places. They were mocking God, making these sacrifices to the Baals, while at the same time doing what they were supposed to do on the outside. So what caused Israel's falling away from the Lord? What caused them to decide that they were going to allow these compromises to happen? Was it the prosperity? Were they taking the blessing of the Lord for granted? They were in this economic boom. They were in this time of great political strength and prosperity. What was it that began to turn their heart away from the Lord? Were they taking the promises and the covenant of God, the blessings, for granted? Did they lose sight of the Lord and allow pride to blind them? Did they begin to trust in themselves more than they trusted in the Lord? Where was their heart? Hosea 11 is God's cry, a father's heart of love and compassion expressed for his people to return to him with their whole heart and mind, not just going through the motions. Not just their actions, not just saying the right words during the sacrifice, but living a life completely devoted and committed to him. We were talking earlier about trying to get a sincere apology from your kids to one another. Let's talk about sincerity. Sincerity refers to the quality of being free from pretense, deceit, or hypocrisy. Sincerity is characterized by honesty, genuineness, and transparency in one's actions and words. In a biblical context, sincerity is often associated with purity of heart and intentions, aligning one's inner motives with outward expressions. So let's talk about the difference. You can tell with your children or with your grandchildren, or even if you're watching your nieces or nephews, or with kids in general, even in kids ministry, you can tell if that apology is sincere or not. How can you tell? Tone of voice. I'm sorry. Well, that was not very sincere. Have you ever gone to apologize to someone and you didn't feel like it? Right? You didn't feel like it. What did it come out? Was it genuine? Was it sincere? Was it honest? Even as adults, sometimes we struggle with being sincere in our apologies, right? And I love it when you see these two kids struggling with their selfish nature and you're trying to get them to repent. Come, admit what you did was wrong. Admit what you did hurt the other person. It's like, like this. And sometimes that lovely thing called the rod of correction might help them out a little bit. But have you ever witnessed that? We have a 2-year-old's classroom in the back. Any of you feel anointed to work with 2-year-olds? I see that hand. I need your help on Sundays and Wednesdays. All right. 2-year-olds is the best classroom, but you have to be anointed. Some people like to label 2-year-olds, what's the common word? Oh, terrible. The terrible twos. Why is it called the terrible twos? Because that selfish nature begins to rise up. And what's usually the first word that a kid says outside of mama and dada? What is it? No. Why is that? Why is no the first word that they want to say? It's because you're beginning to see the sinful nature take hold. Children are not inherently good. Whoever told you that lied to you. They are not. And in that 2-year-old classroom, it's all your potty, it's a training class. I'm just letting you, your potty training and your behavior training. And that's usually when you see the sneaky scratchers, you know, when the teacher turns her back, and then you turn around, what happened? He scratched. They can't even hardly talk, they just point. But they're learning how to express frustration, and they usually hit somebody, slap somebody, kick somebody, scratch somebody. Okay, never mind. Nobody wants to work with 2-year-olds. I'm so sorry. But it's because it's that sinful nature rising up on the inside of them. And that's why it's so important to teach them to begin to say, I'm sorry. A lot of times when you're working with kids, it's important for them to see the effects of their decision. Especially if they hurt somebody, especially if the other person's crying. If they can see the effects of their decision, it brings about a more sincere apology. And Israel in this chapter is going to begin to see the effects of their decisions. Because Hosea begins to prophesy what is going to take place if they don't make a U-turn. He begins to tell them that they're going to be taken captive. They're going to be taken over. That Israel is going to be taken apart piece by piece. So sometimes whenever you're teaching your children or your grandchildren, or even just working with kids at a daycare, trying to help them see what happened because of your decision and what's going to happen. We seek after those sincere apologies. Why? Because godly sorrow, the realization that you've done wrong, that you've inflicted pain, the effects of your poor choices, it leads to repentance. That's why it's so important to teach your children. If they hit somebody else, they need to see that other person crying. Why? Because you inflicted pain on them. It's something on the inside of them wakes up. When my kids were little and they would try to hit me, which I think every kid in the world tries to do that to one of their parents, there were moments when I would pretend to cry and they would go, oh, mama, mama. I said, oh, that hurt. That hurt me. And the realization of what they had done would come upon them. And they would immediately begin to say, I'm sorry, I'm sorry. I want you to look in 2 Corinthians 7:10. What we're looking for, what God is looking for from the Israelites and from us, we're going to be talking about godly sorrow. 2 Corinthians 7:10. Godly sorrow brings repentance that leads to salvation and leaves no regret. But worldly sorrow brings death. Worldly sorrow. What's worldly sorrow, Pastor Kimmy? Worldly sorrow is you're sorry you got caught. You're sorry you got caught doing wrong. You're not sorry that you hurt someone. You're not sorry of the effects of your choice. You're just sorry you got caught and now you're being disciplined. That kind of sorrow, the Bible says right there, brings death. And God is speaking to us that godly sorrow, recognizing what we've done to others, it brings about salvation and it leaves no regret. Isn't that a nice thing? Those two words, no regret. It's like a weight being lifted. How many of you have regrets? How many of you wish you could go back and change things that you did, change things that you said? But you know the most wonderful gift from the Lord is that when we repent, what does he do? He wipes it away. He washes it away. It doesn't mean you don't have to deal with the effects of your choices. You still do. There may be still some consequences that you have to deal with, right? Because of your choices, but God's going to help you see it through. He may have you go repent to someone else because of what you did or the hurt that you caused. But let's talk about what does repentance mean? Repentance means to turn from sin and dedicate oneself to the amendment of one's life. The word repentance in the Bible literally means the act of changing your mind. But it goes beyond remorse or regret or just feeling bad about it. It involves more than merely turning away. The Erdman's Bible Dictionary says this, in its fullest sense, repentance is a term for a complete change of orientation involving a judgment upon the past and a deliberate redirection for the future. You're making a U-turn. Have any of you ever ended up going the wrong way and you had to turn around? To repent means to turn away. You were going this way and all of a sudden you decide, I'm changing direction. I'm changing the direction of my life. To repent to God means to turn away from your sin. I want to express to you God's desire for his people to repent. We read in Isaiah 12:6, at the very end of our reading, it says, but you must return to your God, maintain love and justice, and wait for your God always. There's another scripture I want to bring to your attention in the book of Joel. Joel chapter 2, verses 12 through 13. If you'd read it with me, you can read it in your Bible or on the screen. It says, even now declares the Lord, return to me with all your heart, with fasting and weeping and mourning. Rend your heart and not your garments. Return to the Lord your God, for he is gracious and compassionate, slow to anger and abounding in love, and he relents from sending calamity. Slow to anger, compassionate. It's Joel crying the same thing as Hosea for the nation of Israel. Turn from the Lord. All along, God's desire has been for Israel to belong to him, to be his people, to come back to him. I remember today as I was praying and studying, the Lord reminded me of what Jesus said in Matthew 23:37. Instead, he says, Jerusalem, Jerusalem, you who kill the prophets and stone those sent to you, how often I have longed to gather your children together as a hen gathers her chicks under her wings, and you were not willing. Do you hear the brokenness in God's heart? Do you hear the brokenness in Jesus' voice? His desire is for you and I to be fully his. To be fully his. Heart, mind, body, soul, surrendering to God, being in step with the Spirit. And the moment he convicts you of wrongdoing, what should you do? Repent. Turn. Living a life of repentance is being a follower of Christ. The Bible says that he is growing us from faith to faith. The Bible says that we won't be made perfect until we see Christ face to face. What does that mean? He's working on me. He's working on you. He's shaping you and molding you. We're not perfect. And the moment that he brings something to your attention that you need to repent of or you need to give to him, don't be like that two-year-old. No. We act like that sometimes because our sinful nature is our sinful nature. It wants its way. We don't want to say we're sorry. We want to win the argument. We want to be right. And so many times God has said, Kimmy, stop acting like a two-year-old. I'm like, I'm acting like a two-year-old. On the inside of me, I am. On the inside of me, oh God, forgive me. The moment that the Holy Spirit highlights a bad habit in your life that's distracting you from him and says, give it up. Are you going to give it up? Are you going to walk in obedience to the Lord? Or are you going to fight to have your own way? The moment the Lord says, give that to me, are you going to give it to him? The moment the Lord says, don't trust in yourself, trust in me. Israel began to make alliances with pagan kings because they decided that God wasn't enough. Have you made alliances? Have you made choices to seek outside help and not to seek the Lord for help? Have you begun to decide, God, your word's not enough. I'm going to go get self-help from YouTube videos. We all need help from YouTube videos. We learned how to clean our drain from a YouTube video. That is wonderful. There are not instructions on how to clean out a drain in the Bible. That's not what I'm talking about. You can learn all kinds of things. But how to raise your kids? The Bible has really good instructions. How your family should operate? The Bible has the best instructions. How you should live holy before the Lord? It's not someone else's opinion, it's God's opinion that matters. And tonight, I'm calling you, I'm calling myself to live a life of repentance before the Lord. To live a life where if he sticks his finger on it, you're ready to humble yourself and admit that you were wrong and ask for his forgiveness and move on. So God is speaking to us today. Have you become like Israel in the time of Hosea? Are you going through the motions, but your heart is not his? Are you attending church because you have to, because your mom or your dad makes you, or your grandma says you have to, but your heart is not here? Your heart is not with the Lord. That's exactly what Israel was doing, going through the motions. Are you going through the motions, but serving other idols? Israel didn't tear down the high places. They were still sacrificing to the Baals. Are there idols in your life that God is saying, give that up, give it to me, become mine, heart, mind, body, soul, everything you have? Is there an addiction that you have that gets in the way of you spending time with God. And he's saying, give that to me. Give it up. Let me become your all. Israel thought God wasn't enough. After all he had done for them, after all the blessings and how he rescued them and brought them out of Egypt, they decided he wasn't enough and they sacrificed their children on the altar. They sacrificed to these Baals, these pagan gods. Is God enough for you? Or are you seeking something else? God has everything you need. And out of everyone in the world, he loves you the most. And his desire is like his desire for Israel. He wants you to be his. All of you. Every part of you. Not one part kept away for yourself. Not one part kept hidden. Well, this is my little thing over here. God says, no, I know it's there. Give it to me. Give it to me. Are you serving other idols? Are you coming to church? But do you have things in your life that you serve? Do you have things in your life that you're sacrificing your time and your money and your energy to? That they've become idols in your life. God wants to be your Lord. Have you lost sight of the Lord? Have you taken his blessing on your life for granted? Israel was in a time of great blessing and prosperity. Have you allowed pride to blind you of your need for him? I need Jesus every day. Minister Hank, I can't go a day without him. None of us can. The Bible says that narrow is the road that leads to salvation. Narrow. But wide is the path that leads to destruction. And to serve God, God wants your whole life. He wants you to be completely devoted to him. In every area of your life. Every area? Every area of your life. Does that mean food? Does that mean how you dress? Does that mean where your money goes? Does that mean how you treat your family? Does that mean how you're a hard worker? You're a good and trustworthy worker or employee? Yes. To work as unto the Lord, not unto men. Every area of your life. Your time. Where does your time go? Where are you giving your time? Did you know that's the most precious gift he's given us outside of Jesus? We all have 24 hours in a day, 7 days in a week. All of us have the same amount of minutes and hours. We don't know when we're gonna die. But time, where are you giving your time? Are you allowing the Lord to direct your schedule? Are you allowing the Lord to lead you? Or are you leaning on your own understanding? God, it's okay, God. I got this, God. No, we've got him. God doesn't want you to operate on your own. He doesn't want you to lean on your own understanding. He wants you to trust in him with all of your heart. With all of your heart. With all of your heart. I don't do it perfectly either, every single day. But I want to walk humbly before the Lord. The Lord says to humble yourself before the Lord, and he will lift you up. Young man in the back, I'm coming to you. Can I meet you? What's your name? Miller. The Lord wanted me to tell you, you are precious to him. And he hears you. You're not hidden from him. And there is nothing that you have done that could separate you from his love. God's plan for your life is bigger than you have dreams for. And Miller, he wants you to know that if you'll repent, he'll wash away all of the past, all of the sins, everything, and give you a fresh start. I saw him behind you, crowning you with love. And he wants you to know you're worthy of his love. He made you in his image, and you are not a mistake. You are not an accident. That he knows you by name. The Lord said, if you'll trust me with your life, you will be amazed at what I do. If you'll give it to me, I will do wonders with it. You can trust him. You can trust him, Miller. I see you full of joy, laughing. And God wants to come and touch you. Can I pray for you? Holy Spirit, I know tonight was a simple message. It was a message that most of us have heard. But tonight, I hope you can hear the Father's cry for you. The Father's cry is the same that he has for Israel because he's grafted us into that. Don't make alliances with others. Don't sacrifice to other gods. Let him be yours. Be completely devoted to him. in every area of your life. If there's anything, if there's any area that right now he's just pushing the button on, come on, give it to me. Come on, trust me with it. Give that up. It's no good for you. It's a distraction from what I've called you to do. It's a distraction. Don't take his blessings for granted, but walk humbly before him. Humbly before him.
Well, I hope you were encouraged by God's word. Thank you again for listening to Kings Alaska Podcast. God bless you. For more great content, go to kcalaska.com and may God's face shine upon you.